Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.
It's 6:34. Good morning. Hope your morning is going well. This is Bill Arnold today sitting in for Austin Hill. And I got to say, one of the real advantages of sitting in this chair is some of the very cool people I've been talking to this week. And this morning is no exception because I have with us on the studio line Dr. Alex McFarland. And he is a religion and culture expert and co-host of American Family Radio Network's Exploring the Word. And he's written a new book. And the book is called The God You Thought You Knew: Exposing the 10 Biggest Myths About Christianity. Try saying that early in the morning, Aaron, because it's not rolling off my tongue. And he is with us this morning. Alex, how are you?
Doing great. Glad to be on with you.
Okay, this book looks absolutely fascinating to me, and some of the questions and the picture of you on the book is really nice. You've got really nice hair. I mean, the whole thing is working for me.
Well, thanks. Yes, I bathe once a week, whether I need it or not.
I sense that. I can sense that. But the hair is spectacular, and it makes me a little jealous.
Well, you know, what can I say? The most important thing, though, is the content, which is responding to questions people have about the gospel.
Yeah, and they have a lot of bad information, don't they?
Well, they do. They do. I speak at a lot of colleges every year, and I was just for about a year and a half interviewing 20-somethings, like 18, 19, 20, up to maybe 25, 26-year-olds, just asking them about Christianity and what they believe. Because as I'm sure many of your listeners know, it's been documented and lamented for several years about the rate at which young people are falling away from church. And, you know, now there's a growing demographic. Roughly 1 out of 5 millennials and younger classify themselves as agnostic or have no religion. And, many times I would say to these young people, you know, tell me the God you don't believe in, because chances are I don't believe in that God either.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was at a college and a young person said to me, well, you know, I don't believe in a God that would send innocent people to hell. And I said, you know, neither would I.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, we're not innocent, you know, and we need a savior. So the book is designed to respond to common myths that are really obstacles between people and faith. And while I really did much of the research with 20-somethings, I suspect it's very applicable to people of many age groups.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Alex McFarland, the book is called The 10 Biggest Myths About Christianity. Even the second time around, I can't say it. But there's so many good tidbits here. Let's just kind of rifle through some of these, if we can, Alex. How about the myth that Christianity is intolerant and judgmental towards others? Everybody thinks that.
Who is that Christian? Yeah, a lot of people think that, largely because of, you know, 4.5 decades of the homosexual agenda being promoted in our culture. But in reality, Christianity is the world's most inclusive viewpoint, because the Bible says, whosoever will may come.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, who can come to Jesus? Everybody, anybody. In a way, a lot of our challenge as Christians and churches and ministers is just the way people use words nowadays. And,
mm-hmm.
In reality, the arms of Christ are open to the whole wide world, and he says, whoever wants to be forgiven, whoever wants new life, whosoever will may come. But oftentimes, an unbelieving world spends it to say, you mean there's only Jesus? There's only one way to heaven? How narrow. But in reality, it's inclusive. Christ is saying, I love you, and whoever will may come. Let me say this. One of the biggest things I've found in all of the conversations, several hundred conversations that made up this book, is that the road to skepticism, the road to unbelief, begins with emotional pain. So oftentimes people would have objections on, you know, science or or what about pain and suffering in the world? Why are we full and well fed while people in the Sudan are starving? Which is a valid question. But oftentimes young people would share with me that, you know, they were raised by a relative who was a churchgoer but abused them, or, you know, we prayed and mother still died of cancer. Where was God and all that? And oftentimes it's emotional pain that causes people to place a barrier between themselves and God.
Mm-hmm. Aren't all religions basically, you know, they've got the strict standards? I mean, I really can't go into a Hindu temple and say, hey, I'd like to be a Hindu, but I don't really buy into this reincarnation stuff.
Exactly. That's a great point. Yeah, I mean, all belief systems have some non-negotiables,
mm-hmm.
Christianity included. You've mm-hmm. got to believe that Jesus is the risen Son of God. You've got to repent and turn your life over to Christ. And so only in the affluent, posh, pampered West can we come to God. You know, forever Christianity has been, you know, turn to Christ and obey. We kind of say to God, okay, God, if you're willing to change your ways, God, I'll do you a big favor and let you into my life.
Mm-hmm.
That's rather presumptuous, isn't it?
It is completely. I think in the West in particular, people are offended by anything that's going to threaten their self-sovereignty. Like ultimately,
yeah.
At the end of the day, I kind of want to be in charge. And so one of your myths is that Christianity is not a religion for the educated.
Yeah. And before I touch on that, I want to piggyback on what you just said. You know, 5 years ago, I used to travel and I would say to pastors and groups, I would say, look, the core value of this generation is sexual license.
Mm-hmm.
I've changed it. I believe the core value of this generation is license, period. You know, it's just nothing will change how I think, what I feel, what I do. But about the accusation that Christianity is religion for the uneducated, oh my goodness. On the side of unbelief throughout history, you've got, you know, Voltaire, Charles Darwin, more recently, the ranting, raving Richard Dawkins. On the side of belief, you know, if you look at the Apostle Paul, Augustine, Aquinas, you know, Isaac Newton, the Wright brothers, more recently, people like C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton, Ravi Zacharias. I mean, it's not even a fair fight.
Mm-hmm.
It is true that, you know, you can have a little old lady who just goes to Sunday school in faith and in very childlike, simple trust. She believes in God. But, you know, Austin was with us exactly 2 weeks ago. We had a thing we do every year, once a year, called Truth for a New Generation. And I think about, like, Dr. Stephen Meyer, one of the world's preeminent scientists, who is a believer and has written extensively on how the cell proves the existence of God. It's too complex to have arisen by chance. You know, I think about brilliant scholars with whom we've worked, like William Lane Craig and J.P. Moreland, and goodness gracious, it's one of the untold secrets of our time, how many scholars, and you don't have to be a scholar to come to Christ, of course, but name any academic discipline, chemistry, physics, forensic pathology, mathematics, history. I mean, there are born-again believers that love Jesus and trust the Bible from all of the academic disciplines, and there have been throughout history.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just been one of the lies of modern education that Christianity, belief in God, and specifically Christianity, are for the unintelligent.
I think it was Kierkegaard that said faith is nothing but a leap in the dark, and I thought to myself, well, when is the last time you were in a pitch dark room where what you thought you should do is leap?
Yeah, I know. I would say Christianity is not a leap in the dark. It's a step in the light. I mean,
totally.
It's a justified response to the compelling evidence. You know, creation, conscience, scripture, and Savior. We've got four lines of evidence. CCSS, creation, conscience, scripture, Savior. You know, creation had to have a creator. the moral law, conscience. But, you know, materialism, evolution, just absolute naturalism, has no answer for why humans have a conscience. Evolution really has no answer for the enigma of the what's called the mind-body problem, that, you know, we are a brain and a nervous system, but yet the mind, the personality, the will, the memories, the you, the real you is something other than just the tissue that makes up your brain. Man is a soulish, if we can say that, man is a soulish entity. And think about this for evolution. Okay, let's say you've got the primordial soup. You know, you've got what Darwin called, quote, a warm little pond. How did the mud become mind? When did the inanimate matter switch on and develop consciousness? Unbelief, evolution, has no answer for the origin and the existence of consciousness, has no answer for the existence of mathematics. I spoke in two schools this week, and I was with a math professor with an earned PhD, and he became a believer that there must be a God based on this enigma of mathematics. You would not have math in a non-theistic universe. And, you know, we could go on and on. Objective morals, you know, how do we know what's right and wrong? How could the Court of World Opinion at Nuremberg tell the Nazis, you know, you've violated an objective standard if there weren't objective morality and a God on whom that morality rests?
I'm talking to Dr. Alex McFarland, and this is some serious brain power on the line, and he has actually brought up my IQ by 8 points. And we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, lots more with him and his book. It is 6:45. This is Austin Hill in the Morning. Bill Arnold sitting in today for Austin. Be back in a minute.
Getting your day started, connecting faith to life. Back to Austin Hill in the Morning.
It's 6:48. Welcome back to the Faith Radio Network. Bill Arnold today sitting in for Austin Hill. We are talking this morning to Dr. Alex McFarland, and he has written several books, and the one that we're talking about this morning is a book, his latest, called The God You Thought You Knew, Exposing the 10 Biggest Myths About Christianity. There, I got it right this time. Took me 3 tries.
And you're awesome.
Oh, thank you so much. Alex, okay, a lot of people think that Christianity is false because it's based on the Bible, and of course that's filled with all kinds of errors and contradictions, and talk about that.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think is very interesting over the last few decades and even within our lifetime is how more and more historical evidence continues to be uncovered that validates what the Bible says. Let me give you 2 things. Skeptics, and I've been on the road kind of speaking at universities and debating and sharing the gospel at college campuses for about 18 years now. And one of the things that I've heard periodically is that there's no evidence for Moses and the Exodus and the plagues of Egypt. You know, maybe that's just Old Testament, you know, embellishment. Maybe that never really happened. This week I was with a scholar that we had at North Greenville University, which is a Christian school where I teach adjunctively in South Carolina. And he was showing pictures of hieroglyphics that have been found that basically depict the 10 plagues of Egypt. And there's a very famous hieroglyphic of the Nile River with dead bodies floating in it. And hieroglyphics of frogs, which seem to depict the plague of frogs. And there's another hieroglyphic of a big body of water clearly divided in two. And these would be contemporary with what we think is the time of Moses, about 1400 B.C. Amazing apparent external evidence confirming what the Bible says. Another big objection that we've heard is, you know, there was no evidence for the existence of King David. Maybe the great reign of King David was just ancient Jewish nationalistic propaganda. And now there are at least two verified archaeological discoveries that reference the life of David. And my point in sharing that is that the Bible, there's the manuscripts that convey the words of Scripture, but then there's the content itself, which says you must be born again. I believe compelling evidence, historical evidence, points to the fact that we can trust the Bible. You know, it's been said that if the Bible were merely a secular book, its authenticity would be regarded as beyond all doubt. And so so many of the people that I interviewed for this book, The God You Thought You Knew, it came out yesterday, actually, with Bethany House Publishers. Subtitle is Exposing 10 Common Myths About Christianity. 99% of all the people that I interviewed, and it was well over 100 individuals, they had not really investigated Christianity for themselves. They were merely repeating something they heard. You know, well, the Bible's full of errors, or, you know, Christians are just ignorant. And once you sort of, you know, get in a conversation, I found that people are very surprised at how empty the objections really turn out to be. And they're very surprised that you can know God personally, and it's not just, you know, like you and I said earlier, it's not just a leap in the dark, but it's a justified, legitimate response to some pretty compelling evidence. But what we've got to do, we've got to build a relationship to be able to share this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to build the trust, the honesty, and the respect that paves the way for a meaningful conversation about Jesus, that takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it's always convenient, but I'm just saying that's what Christ has called us to do, isn't it?
It is, and we cannot fear conversation. We have to engage in dialogue, because that's how we communicate the good news. I mean, faith comes from hearing, right? And hearing by the word of God. So we have to be willing to be equipped and be ready to share our faith with others.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, I gotta tell you this. And by the way, God bless you for sitting in for Austin. That's what is he on vacation? Taking some much needed time off?
I would guess so. Yeah, Aaron's shaking his head. He's bobbing his head like a parakeet right now, going, "Uh-huh, yep." So he's on vacation.
Well, 2 weeks ago, he came to South Carolina for our big conference, Truth for a New Generation, and my wife and I, it was our privilege to hang out with Austin for a couple of days, and we had dinner several times, and then he did his show, Austin Hill in the Morning, from the studios there at the conference, and just a great guy. I know all your listeners know that, but it's certainly been a privilege to get to know Austin in recent months.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Alex McFarland, your book is available right now on Amazon.com and local bookstores. Your website is alexmcfarland.com.
Yes.
You have been a great, wonderful guest. You've made me smarter and better looking this morning.
Well, you know, I'm going to take your word for that. And if that be the case, to God be the glory.
Exactly. And thank goodness for radio that can prove nothing. All right, we're gonna. Well, have a great weekend, Alex, and good congratulations on your book. It's 6:55. This is Bill Arnold sitting in for Austin Hill in the Morning. We'll be back in just a minute.
Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.